this morning so that you can't say you didn't see it for yourself. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 1. And when Jesus went out and departed from the temple, I'll read it just. I want you to read it with me. We'll get lost somewhere. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be one left upon stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that you not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and you shall and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness unto all nations, and shall be the end, and then shall the end come. And therefore, when you shall see the abomination and desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let him which be in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him that is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him that is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight not be in the winter, neither on the Sabbath. For then shall be such great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world, nor this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, that they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth, behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth in the unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear a sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with great power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And he shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven even unto the other. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, he putteth forth leaves. You know that the summer is nigh. So likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and then took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. The woman shall be grinding in the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that the good man of the house had known what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched and would have not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be so ready, inasmuch as the hour you think that the Son of Man cometh. Who then is faithful and wise servant, Who has his Lord made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, find him so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him a ruler over all his goods. But if he be an evil servant, so say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come on a day in which he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him a portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow. This morning, I'll be ministering a message simply entitled, The End is Near, It is Even at the Doors. Amen. The end is near, it is even at the doors. Look to your neighbor, say, neighbor,
neighbor,
we don't need to wonder.
We don't need to wonder
what the future holds.
What the future holds.
The Lord knows.
The Lord knows
what He has written.
What He has written.
We don't need to wonder what the future holds. The Lord knows exactly what He has written, exactly what He has prescribed in His Word, and we must trust Him. Amen?
Amen.
We must trust Him. In this day and age, in a great part, when you hear a spiritual truth, the devil does his best to dampen it to where there's no response. The Lord will say, repent, and you'll say, I don't need to. The Lord will say, go ye therefore, tell your household that I'm coming, and for whatever reason, you'll think that you don't need to. If you truly have heard a word of God, it will propel you to go out and do exactly what He has said. Amen?
Amen.
But far too often, we allow the devil to dampen what we would know otherwise as discernment. We hear things on the news, war in Iraq. How many of you have given any thought to that? Seriously. You can hear about women being raped, children being murdered, and you hear them like, that's too bad, and go about your business. Like it doesn't matter. You hear about famine in the land, you'll see the program come on the TV, children starving left and right, asking for a donation, and you'll see it. You might feel just a moment of empathy, but you really don't care.
Amen.
You really don't care. You see all these things happening. You hear all these things taking place. And as a church, it should get us to get ready to go. The Lord has told us in His Word that there's going to be such tribulation. There are going to be things that are going to happen that are going to make many people quit the gospel. They're going to make many people's love dry up. But He's telling you this now so that when the time comes, that you may be ready.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The end is near. I don't preach this message this morning to, ooh, scare you. Or to get you to think, oh my goodness, the Lord is coming back. That's a fact. It is going to happen. Is your house in order? Are you ready for the Lord? Many said no, and I'm glad you're honest, because now you know what you need to do.
Amen.
You need to get ready for the Lord to return. Jesus says that you need to prepare. We are unaware of what's really going on in the spiritual world. So this morning, as we read the text, the disciples came to Jesus, and they asked Him simple questions. In verse 3, His disciples said, tell us, what shall these things be, and what shall the sign of Thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. Don't buy into this idea that everything is just going to be okay. Is that what the Lord wrote? Did He write in His Word that everything is just going to be okay before He comes back? He's right in the world, and that there's going to be such a time of prosperity in the church that you'll have multiple houses, multiple vehicles, and just everything's going to be peachy keen.
Mm-hmm.
No, His disciples said, Lord, tell us, how can we know? How can we know when You're going to come? What should we be looking for to know that you're going to return soon? And He says, don't be deceived.
Hallelujah.
The first thing He said, don't be deceived. Don't look at something and see something that you're not supposed to see. If you see violence, see violence. If you see famine, see famine. Don't let the devil trick you to think it's just a one-day happening. The Lord goes through this whole diatribe to let us understand exactly what the condition of the world would be in before He came back. Open up your newspaper and see if you don't see verse 6. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. These are just the beginnings of sorrows. It hasn't affected our country yet to where we can see and cry out to God, but all around the world there are people that are dying. There are people that all they've known since the time of their birth is war and destruction and violence. Yet, do we pray for them? Do we ask God to send His grace and mercy to those that are less fortunate than us? We're talking about the love of many waxing cold. There was a time when someone's house got broken into or their house burnt down that the neighborhood would come together and lift that person up and help them rebuild the things that were torn down. The church is too stuck up in themselves to help anybody. The Lord says the love of many shall wax cold.
Amen.
The love of many shall be for themselves and not for anybody else.
That's right.
A self-centered church. A church that would rather take care of themselves than to look at the true needs of the world. But what I find so amazing, that before Jesus said that the end would come, that the gospel would be preached. Amen?
Amen.
He says that the gospel shall be preached, if you look in verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. The very last thing that happens before the Lord comes is that He still saying, come unto me,
mm-hmm.
all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. In times of tribulation and unprecedented events, the Lord is still offering those who would like new life, new life. The Lord is long-suffering. Amen. But again, do not be deceived. You might have imagination in your heart. Sometimes we think we'll be sitting at home, maybe by ourselves, maybe with company, and the Lord will begin to talk to you and to get your mind to think, are you really ready? Are you ready for Him to come back? Are you ready for Him to call you home? If the Lord came at this very hour, would you be ashamed? Or would you say, thank you, Master, for coming to get me? You see, this is no preaching, shouting message.
Yeah.
But if you're not ready for the Lord to come, then what are you doing? I don't know about you, but I have noticed in myself and in my life, there was a time when I used to always want to increase my lifestyle in the sense of have better things and have a better place of living, have a better establishment for myself. And for my family, there was a time when I thought that, you know, you need certain things to go out and do things. But let me tell you something. I don't know how many of you know this, but if the end is coming here, that means we're going somewhere else, right?
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Pack your bags.
Amen.
Why invest upon a creation that is going to come to an end? Why put your treasures upon the earth, the Bible says? Put your treasures where moth and rust don't corrupt. Get your focus on the things which are above, because what is beneath is coming to an end. It's a fact. It is going to happen. Pack your bags.
All right.
The things that keep you unaware of God's time and of God's things are the things that you hold on to. The activities that you partake in will blind you from the true picture of what God is going to do. The things that we hold on to and are not willing to give up are the very things that will damn your soul.
Amen.
God is telling you to go, and you are trying to cleave and hold on to the very things that the Lord does not want you to have.
Amen.
He said, whosoever shall lose his life shall save it. If you give up that which you hold so dear, you'll be saved from what is going to happen. He said it's going to be like the days of Noah. People are going to be so unaware of what's getting ready to happen that they're going to be blindsided. He says it's going to be just like it was before the flood. People are going to be drinking, having parties, giving in marriage, having a good old time, not knowing what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they're caught unawares. They were foolish. They didn't notice the signs of the time. So Jesus broke it down a little bit further. He said, you see the fig? When it starts to sprout out things, you know that the fruit is about ready to be harvested. So the Lord's saying, use that same logic. And you can tell that a flower is about ready to grow because the bud has come up, you see the leaves coming off, then you know that the time for harvest is about ready to be here. Use that same logic. Here are the signs that you'll know that I'm coming. There will be wars, there will be famines, there will be rumors, there will be love that's failing, there will be people that turn against people, families against family members. Wake up, know the times.
Amen.
There are some preachers that preach the rapture before any tribulation happens. I'm not one of them. There are some that believe before all these things that happen in Matthew 24 and the Great Tribulation that the church will be taken out. Let me tell you something. There's not one time in history that God spared his people through tribulation but made them able to endure.
Amen.
Not one time in biblical history did God spare his people from tribulation but gave them the strength to endure. Did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego escape the fire? Or were they in that fire, but the Lord made sure they could endure? There's not been one time in biblical history where God has spared his people from tribulation. Even so, as you study eschatology, we learn that he'll preserve 144,000 of his own to go through that tribulation. But the whole purpose of tribulation is not to... It's not because God doesn't like you, not because God doesn't want you, but it's to prove whether or not you truly love him, to prove whether or not you really trust in him.
Amen.
I mean, God doesn't want a heaven full of people that got poor trust issues. You know, if your mind is on Christ, then you don't need to worry about these things because he said, be not troubled.
Uh-huh.
If your mind is on Christ, you don't have anything to worry about, be not troubled.
Uh-huh.
Because he's telling you before it comes to pass. But study this. The Bible says in Thessalonians, at the last trumpet sound, read Revelations and find where that last trump is. You need to prepare for what is going to come. And the only way that you'll be prepared for what is to come is by trusting in the Lord. Trust that the Lord will be able to provide all your needs. Trust that he is able to keep you from falling. Trust that he is able to bring you from where you are to where he wants you to be. Because those that don't know the Lord will not survive. Those that do not know the Lord will not survive. If you don't have a true relationship with Christ, people lose their minds when they lose their job. Imagine losing your home, your family members, all your worldly possessions, and you have no one to turn to. If you don't know Jesus, what do you think you'll do? If you don't know Jesus, what do you think you'll do? The end is near. We need to pack our bags. Is your house in order? You know, I can preach all morning long. Are you ready for Jesus? And we minister that a lot here. I worked at a job for many years, and I was talking to the manager once, and I was telling him that you have all these workers that have so much potential but just don't care. And he said, well, we can't develop people. The preacher cannot make you study the Word of God. The preacher cannot make you learn to pray. The preacher cannot get you to turn away from anything. Only thing that God does is give you what you need. It's up to you to take advantage of what God has put right in front of you.
Amen.
It's up to you to allow God to come into your life and make the changes that are necessary. Don't expect someone to pick you up all the time, tell you what to do, point you in the right direction, because God has sent his son to do that. And whether you make the best of that or don't, that's up to you.
Amen.
How many years have you been stagnant doing the same old things, thinking that a change is going to come? You want your life to be different? Stop playing games with God and trust him.
Amen.
You want your testimony to be true? Stop playing games with God and trust him. You want a relationship with God that will produce everlasting life? Stop playing with God and trust him.
Amen.
God is not going to take more initiative than what he's already done by giving his son to us at the cross.
Amen.
It is up to you, the individual, to have a relationship with God. A preacher can't save you. Your best friend can't save you. Your finances, your talent, your ability, those things cannot save you. You have to have a relationship with God for yourself.
Amen.
And whatever the Lord dictates that to be, that's what should be. If the Lord tells you to go here, go there. But how many times in this passage that we read, and there was a lot, that's why I'm just highlighting the main points. Two times the Lord says, don't be deceived. There will be people coming to say, I'm Christ. They'll tell you that Christ is over here and Christ is over there. Do you realize that after Christ's time came Muhammad and came Joseph Smith, and these two individuals have led people to damnation?
Amen.
Because they don't have a relationship with the true and living God. Don't follow after false ways. How will you know what the Antichrist is if you don't know who Christ is?
Amen.
I mean, if a man comes in the street right now professing to be Jesus, and you see him lay hands on the sick and they get recovered, if you see an open blind man's eyes, the dumb church will think, oh, that's Jesus! Oh, he's back! If you don't know Christ, the true Christ, how will you ever have discernment to know what the Antichrist is? If Satan can transform his ministers to appear to be ministers of righteousness, the only way that you will know the true Christ from the false Christ is if you're truly his sheep. He says, my sheep hear my voice and they know me, and another will they not follow. How many of y'all can tell the difference between Antichrist and Christ right now? If you don't have a relationship with God, you don't have someone speaking to you. You have the devil whispering in your ear. For when God speaks, it comes from the heart and is made manifest. How many know Jesus this morning? How many know him well enough? If there were identical twins, one was named Jesus, one was named Lucifer, and there were identical twins, how would you tell the difference between the two? Do you know the Lord's scent? Do you know his person? Do you know his characteristics? Are you ready for him to come? He says, don't be deceived, for there will be many that will come in my name. But the true Christ is coming down from the throne, amen?
Amen.
The true Christ is coming down from the throne. He says in verse 27, for as lightning cometh out from the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. He's coming down from the throne to take his church home.
Amen.
So if you see Christ coming up the street, if you see Christ coming out of some place, Jesus is right now sitting on the throne. He doesn't have to come up. He's coming down for us.
Thank you, Lord.
You've got to know Christ. And the true evidence that I believe in Christ. You know, every time the Lord has heard, I believe in Christ. If I have the Lord's mind and I could record how many times people have said, I believe in Christ, against who truly believes in Christ, I bet that number would be one in a million. The evidence of belief is the fruit that follows. If you turn on the news Sunday morning and the weatherman says there is 100% chance of rain, and it might be raining outside. The true evidence that you believe that was that you got your umbrella, right?
Amen.
If you had an umbrella to use, you'd have brought your umbrella. You have the church told time and time again to get ready for the Lord. Have you made an effort to get right? Are your bags packed? I believe in the Lord. 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 I was talking with a person at my job the other day. He's not a Christian. He's a Muslim, and he was telling me, and they all say about the same thing. They say, we believe in Christ, that he's the great prophet, one of the great prophets of God. And I said, do you know what prophets do? They speak. And this particular prophet said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me.
Amen.
You can't properly say you believe in Christ if you don't know what he has commanded in his word.
Amen.
What kind of belief is that? To say you believe in Christ, you don't know anything about him.
Well,
they can't ask them, what do you know about Jesus other than the fact that he's a prophet? They don't know nothing. They just know what they're told to say.
Amen.
And you might have that same type of relationship with God where you say you believe, but you don't even know the God that you're believing in because the book that tells you all about him has collected dust for the last 10 years of your life.
Well,
it only gets opened up on Sunday morning when you want to play a religious game. If you know Jesus, you've got to know Jesus. Know that his word is what sustains you. Know that his word is what you need when you get beaten up by the devil because you don't know his word.
Well,
when the devil's having victory in your life, it's because you don't know his word. The Bible says the devil is a defeated foe, that all the Lord's enemies have been put underneath his feet. You need to understand who the Christ it is that you serve, so that you can stand for the Lord in times of trouble, that you can resist the devil and allow him to flee from you. It's not time to have a time for comfortability. It's time to get prepared, to get rooted, to get grounded in God's word, because judgment is coming. It's not a question. It's not when it's going to happen. It's not, is the Lord going to tarry you long enough to let me live and my kids to leave. It's going to happen, and it's going to happen soon.
Amen.
I believe in the Lord. I love the Lord. Truth. If you love the Lord, prove it. If I love my wife, I won't cheat on her. If I love my wife, I'm not going to tell her lies and be running to someone else's house at every opportunity that I get. If you love the Lord, then you need to be faithful to him.
Amen.
We have a church full of Hosea's wives, whores, are always playing on the Lord. But you better get ready.
Well,
because the Bible says that the Lord is coming when you don't think he's coming. He's not going to come when you're playing the righteous game. He's going to come to you in the hour when you're in your filth. He knows what you do. He knows what you do when the lights are off and the preacher ain't around, the righteous folk ain't around. He knows what you're doing. He's going to come in an hour that you think he's not going to come.
Amen.
But here's the key, church. Don't be troubled. Because if you believe in the Lord, here's the beauty. If you believe in the Lord, then you're always watching. You're always waiting. You're always ready to go. I don't know how many of y'all watch NASCAR. I wasn't a fan of NASCAR. I don't even watch it, to be honest with you. One day I was at my uncle's house up the road, and he loved NASCAR. And I don't understand the sport. Cars go around and around and around and around.
Woo.
That's real fun. They just go around the track, the whole for hours. Just, when you get bored going around the track, I'd be dizzy. But nevertheless, each car has their very own pit crew. And the pit crew always has to be on guard because they don't know when that driver's going to come in. And the pit crew isn't paying attention, then their driver is going to lose the race. Because they don't get the car out quick enough. Church, we have to watch because we don't know when our driver's coming home.
Amen.
We don't know when he's coming home. It's not been appointed to us to know. The angels don't know, only the Father in heaven knows. So as long as you're watching, don't you know we're here to do a job? We are here to be preparing the way of the Lord.
Amen.
And as long as you're watching, you don't have nothing to worry about. If the Lord's not in what you're doing, then don't do it.
Amen.
If you can't see the Lord in your activities, I couldn't see the Lord in that song that's played this morning. If the Lord gets no pleasure in what you do, then don't do it. Understand? It's not people we serve. I work at AT&T, but I don't serve AT&T. We serve the one true God.
Amen.
And he tells us in his word, time is short. How do you know time is short? Look at the victory. Look at the signs in which he has put in his word to allow us to be aware of these things. You know, it's not always true in history. 50 years ago, there were rumors and such and famines as we see today. But as the love of people turns inward and refuses to go outward, the world is affected. We live in the most greediest nation in the entire of the world, in the entirety of the world. You realize that? The average American wastes more money, more food than any other nation in the world. Just greedy. Can't get enough. What are you going to do when famine comes? when McDonald's is closed and Burger King don't have burgers no more. You can't go to Walmart because there's no food. Unless you take the Mark of the Beast, you die. But be of good cheer, Jesus said. He overcame the world. He overcame the devil. And he can overcome what's going on in your life right now. If you said this morning that your house is not in order, what are you waiting for? It's time to get your umbrella. It's time to take the gospel to those that don't know the gospel. It's not enough to just assume people are saved. It's not enough to assume that just because a person doesn't curse and doesn't cuss and doesn't use vulgar things to assume that they know Jesus. The only way you know is if you ask. Do you know the Lord? Do you have His name in your heart? Have you made up your mind to leave this place? I don't know about you, but my house is raggedy. There is a mansion in heaven waiting. Paul says that the glory that shall be revealed, you know, we can't even comprehend what God has in store for us in heaven. We can't fathom it. But you need to be ready for the Lord. There are things, there are places, there are people, there are circumstances every single day that will try to get you not to keep things in focus. You know, without my glasses, I've got blurred vision. I can't see things as they are. This morning I didn't have my glasses on. I looked in that mirror, I said, man, I look pretty good. I put sunglasses on and brought things into focus. And until you put the Word of God on, until you start to look through God's Word and see things as God sees them, you got blurred vision. You can't see things right. You can't see things clearly. It's time to put on the Lord's glasses and see through Jesus.
Amen.
So that we can truly understand what's going on. Because if we don't, not only do we lose our opportunity to partake in grace and partake in everlasting life, but we set ourselves up to be ashamed. You know, they always say, wear clean underwear because you never know. You never know what can happen. And you always ought to be right before the Lord. Don't go days and nights and weeks backslidden, years backslidden. There's no reason to. I don't know about you, but the promised land was better than Egypt. And God's grace is better than this world. Is your house in order? The last thing that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 51. Actually, I'll read it from verse 45 because I want you to understand this. The Lord knows who's His and who's isn't.
Amen.
But it says in verse 45 of chapter 24, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them the meat in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say to you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day in which he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Imagine serving the Lord your whole life, and then you fall away because of delay. That's what happened to the Church of Hebrews. You know that? The Church of Hebrews was an outstanding church. But because they thought the Lord was coming back sooner than what He came or was coming back, they began to get slack. They began to become apostates in the sense of they were no longer holding on to the truth. Church, don't fall, but stand. The Lord is sure on His word. We don't know when He's coming back, but understand this: the end is near. It is even at the doors. Are you ready?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. He's got his mind made up. Anthony the prophet saying, yep. Praise is made perfect in the mouth of babes. would stand this morning.
Get your house in order.
There's one here that has lost their way and is not ready for the Lord to come. You may come and receive prayer and forgiveness, Father God. Lord, we want to give you the praise for your word. We want to give you the praise for all that you do, Lord. We ask that you move upon the hearts of men, Father God, that this church be enabled to go out and preach the gospel, Father God. That we be ready for your return at any time because we are watching and praying and seeking your face. And we give you the praise and the glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We need prayer and salvation this morning. The altars are open. There's only one thing to be afraid of in this world, and that's not knowing Jesus.